and the difference between the old stadium where the seating didn't come down to the floor, it was cut off at quite a high height. So while he was on the mat, you felt like the crowd was on top of you, which was a great feeling.
Welcome back to the next instalment of The Final Block, a British Judo podcast bringing you the insights straight off the mat. I'm your host, Stuart McWatt, and on today's episode, we look ahead to this weekend's IGF Paris Grand Slam, one of the most prestigious events in the judo calendar, which makes its return after 20 months away. Today, we will look at the past, present, and future. So welcome to the show, Dennis Stewart, Gemma Howell, and Kelly Peterson-Pollard. Okay, let's start with you, Gem. So you've fought Paris a few times. First time you fought it, 2009, we got 5th and 57 kilos, and you're our most recent medal at the event, getting bronze in 2020 at under 70s. So can you just give us a little insight on how it compared, so your first time when you fought the event to last year when you got bronze?
Obviously a lot of kilos will have been different, 57s to 70s, but I can't really remember it, fighting it back in that long ago. I think back then actually it was when coaches couldn't even sit by the side of the mat, so I was listening to Kate and my coach Bill up in the stands. But I think Paris has always been one of the most exciting events of the year, so that definitely hasn't changed.
Yeah, you hear people going about Paris all the time, and I know a lot of people, I know a lot of coaches and judo players from here go and watch it every year. It is normally in February, but obviously this year got postponed because of COVID, so it's taking place in October. But they're always going about sort of the big crowd and stuff. So I'm amazed you managed to hear your coaches from the crowd back in 2009. In 2020, it was obviously the run-up to the Games. Before COVID hit, obviously. So how was the crowd in that there, and how did it influence you when, especially in that bronze fight?
It was really nice, especially afterwards, because obviously it's so close to home. There were so many people that had said they'd come over and got to see it. So I was happy they'd got to see me on one of my best days. I think, like, obviously, it's just the buzz that gives you that extra lift. I remember one time fighting at the Bercy Stadium for the World Championships, and I was actually fighting a French girl, so the crowd obviously against me, but it still managed to like give me that a bit of energy and extra spare to keep going. But obviously, I can always tune in, like when you said my coach is up in the stand. I feel like you just tune into certain voices that you can hear. Probably could have heard Bill if he was cheering me on from Japan. So yeah, I think you get used to that.
Yeah, it's good. It's not like a home crowd. It's always saying Glasgow and stuff. It's just full of British fans, but there are a lot of British fans that sort of fly over. So I had a lot of tough fights that day. Obviously, Barbatimo from Portugal, you fought Telstadu as well. What was it like meddling at that event and fighting those people? And that was one of the major events that helped you qualify for the Games. What was it like fighting those people, obviously, before the Games the year after?
Definitely, obviously, gives you confidence, gave me confidence knowing that I can beat the top players. I guess I kind of knew that going into that from beforehand. But yeah, it's just like, completely forgot the question.
That's how we want. So, obviously, Gemma, you fought multiple times. Kelly, it's your first time next weekend. How are you feeling on the run-up to the competition?
I'm excited. It's been a good few competitions, like, getting going. So, yeah, I'm excited because I've never been in a stadium so big. And I think there will be a crowd, so that'll be something new.
Have you done anything to prepare fighting in front of this crowd? Or do you think just past experience competitions are going to help?
I think I'm just going to go into it exactly the same. And normally when you're about to walk out, you kind of don't hear anyone or anything anyway but the coach, like Gemma said, so I think I'll just go into it exactly the same as normal, and then, yeah, it should go well.
So he's obviously had in the last few weeks, last month, a slew of good results. Obviously, meddling in Bosnia, meddling in Zagreb, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Getting mixed up, because it's Croatia next weekend as well, in Zagreb. So you're in good form going into this competition. Are you seeded or anything, or do you know who you could be fighting? Have you looked at the entry at all?
Yeah, I'm going in as 5th seed, so that's pretty high for Paris. But obviously, a lot of the Olympians from Tokyo are not going to be there. But yeah, I'm excited, and I think the seeding's quite good for me. So we'll just see how it goes.
Okay, so opening up to sort of both of you now, obviously, because it's in Paris, the French get four per weight, and we know the women's team in Paris are very strong, so it helped them get that Olympic mixed team medal gold. Have you fought many French girls? Who do you sort of, is your main rival sort of from the French squad? Obviously, in 70s, there are a lot of sort of top players there.
Yeah, the main ones actually, well, the main two, Garhi and Pinot, aren't actually going to be in Paris, but so it's like the younger four who I have fought previously as well, so they're also a strong four to fight, but they're like the upcoming ones, I think, for Paris 2024.
Yeah, definitely. So, well, I've personally never fought Paris, but I've done the camp a lot, not only injured for the competition, but I've done the camp a lot. I'm guessing you guys have done the camps before. What's the camp like to you, and how has it helped prepare you for the rest of the, not only for the rest of the year, because it's normally in February. We normally got Paris, the camp, and then obviously Dusseldorf at the end of the month, going into Russia Grand Slam stuff in March. How do you think the camp helps prepare you sort of for that rest of the year and set you up for sort of top competition?
Obviously, it's always a it's always a strong camp because the competition's so strong, so it attracts everybody all around the world. So then everybody then stays for the extra three days, knowing that they're going to get good quality randori out of it. So that's what you need, really, with judo. You need partners, you need fights. So definitely a lot of people use that to help prepare them for the next upcoming competitions.
Okay, so the next Olympics is obviously in Paris in 3 years' time. And I think every time people are going to be fighting at the Paris Grand Slam now, starting from this weekend into the new cycle, they think the excitement's going to build. They're obviously going to be building up the games. You'll see a lot more advertisement and stuff. So do you think by going to the events now, when the excitement's building, is going to help you prepare for the games in 3 years' time?
Yeah, I think it's going to help me prepare, and also this is one of, like, well, this is my biggest event yet, so starting it now in 3 years running up to Paris is going to give me, like, great experience, exposure out with the bigger girls, and then next year and the year after, going back to Paris, the excitement, getting better, and then hopefully aiming for medals and then going into Paris 2024.
Yeah, hopefully that's good. Okay, so just going to move away a little bit from Paris now. I'm going to sort of ask the both of you, what sort of advice do you have for any sort of youngsters that want to give judo a try or that are currently doing judo and want to sort of get to those next few levels? Obviously, we've seen in the news lately, David Beckham's daughter is doing judo and got a silver at the weekend, so great media exposure for us as well. So if you want to maybe give her a bit of advice, I don't know, or just so anyone, any young people that are fighting, just advice from you two, because you both fought, obviously, at the top level, and sort of came through the ranks through the years, so.
I think most importantly, just to enjoy it, do what you love, and then the rest will just follow, hopefully, all the way to the Olympics.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Enjoy it. But also, if you, like, put in the effort, and then you will get better and better, and then hopefully get as high and far as you want.
Yeah. Do you ever look back and think, so when I saw that picture of David Beckham's daughter and she's fighting these small competitions, I'm thinking back when I was younger fighting red belt rumbles and sort of mini months and stuff like that. Do you ever look back and sort of compare fighting as a kid to fighting now? Did you see yourself back then fighting in the likes of Paris and Tokyo and stuff like that?
I think from little, often you always dream to be on the big stage, you always dream to be. I remember standing at the front of assembly and saying, I want to be Olympic champion one day. So the dream's always there. And I think the fight in me has always been there. I don't think that's ever changed. So yeah, still the same scrappy fighter that I was when I did my first competition at 8 years old.
Yeah, as well, when I look back, I think about when I was at like a mini mon or like a tiny little event where there was like three of us all friends fighting and how serious I used to take it, and like looking back now I wish I did just take not as serious and didn't go into it like I'm at the world championships as like a 9-year-old.
I suppose it's a good mindset to have now. Yeah, when you think back maybe she enjoyed that a bit more when I was a bit younger. So we're here with Dennis now, and so obviously Dennis, you were the first male GB fighter to ever reach the final of the Paris Grand Slam back in the 80s, where you got silver. So can you just explain to us what it was like sort of competing back then and what Paris was like back in the 80s when you used to fight?
Well, it was a smaller venue because it's just got bigger and bigger and a stronger and stronger event. I don't think the judo is any more stronger because it was a place where everybody needed to test themselves to see who were the best of the best, the Japanese, the Russian, obviously the French were there, we'd always a big team, the Cubans and the Americans were quite strong. So it was somewhere that you came to test yourselves to see if you were as good as the best in the world. So it was a fantastic atmosphere. And the difference between the old stadium where the seating didn't come down to the floor, it was cut off at quite a high height. So while he was on the mat, you felt like the crowd was on top of you, which was a great feeling.
Yeah. Do you think competing in such a prestigious event back then helped prepare you for when you went and fought at the Olympics? Obviously, we ended up getting bronze. Do you think competing and medaling at Paris helped with that, or it was just another competition?
Without a doubt. I mean, you did the European Championships and even the World Championships, but there's something special about Paris. You know, there's something that worlds, you know, you're going to get the best of the best, and it's usually only one fighter from each country, whereas sometimes in Paris you had two from each country. So it could be a lot harder, depending on your draw, than some of the major tournaments. And World Championships easily harder, and the Europeans and the World Championships could be as hard as your World Championships because of the quality of the entry and the number of entries.
Well, especially you see now the French have got 4 and 8. There's always a strong Japanese team, Russian team are there. There's no shortage of sort of top players. So as years went on, you went from fighting to coaching at Paris and these events now. What's the main sort of differences from fighting and now coaching at Paris with some of the GB players?
Obviously, there's a big difference with coaching. The mental preparation is still the same because when you know you're doing the Paris tournament, I don't know if you like this with all the coaches, but you almost feel like you're preparing yourself to go again. Even when you're standing in the tunnel, you feel yourself rocking and looking around and getting as hyped as the player does. You know, and for some reason, it only ever happens at this tournament and possibly at the Worlds. And when you step out into the arena and you see all the people out there for the first time, it does make the air on the back of your neck stand up. So you still feel that buzz. There is definitely a buzz. It's obviously a little bit different because you haven't done the preparation like you would do for a tournament, you know, on the physical side. But mentally, you're just as hyped. Just as hyped.
I wouldn't know. I'm still yet to fight Paris. I've been selected a few times, just never fought it. Paris has sort of always been situated at the start of the year, even sort of back in the 80s, 90s, and now it's normally in sort of end of January, February time. It can be quite difficult for a lot of athletes to prepare for that, purely because of Christmas. That's normally the only time off in the year. Did you ever struggle with that when you were competing? So getting that preparation in?
Oh, every time. I mean, it's the toughest tournament in the world, yet it was at the worst part of your program, or a British program, because you went right up to the trials, wherever that was, because that was moved around a few times. But the only break you had was towards the Christmas period. So depending on how good a break you had or how good a Christmas you had, depends how ready you was for Paris. And you know, the first time I did it, it was a nightmare because getting my weight right and stuff like that straight after Christmas. The time when I won the medal, I was a bit more prepared for it. Didn't have such a long Christmas train just before it. Had a short break, and then I started training again. So I had to prepare for it a lot harder than I did the first time I went.
Well, that's valuable information there. Obviously, Kelly's fighting her first Paris at the weekend, and it's probably something that should be important for her. I know it's at a different point in the year, but it's all about that preparation. It took you a few years to get the preparation perfect and correct.
Yeah,
to obviously get that medal. Obviously we spoke to the girls as well about the camp afterwards as well. This is something I have done a few times, but is this the opportunity to maybe fight them in the competition, to refight them in the camp and really seek out the best players in the world to set you up for the rest of the year is really valuable?
Without a doubt. I mean, for a lot of them, or the first time you go, you're probably not expected to medal or perform well depending on your draw past the first two rounds. So, you know, the big thing was the camp. That was the big thing, going there and getting a hold of as many of the top players in the world that you could do. And that's what we did the first couple of years, you know, just see how far we were, or how close we were to the best of the best. And I think that's for juniors and for early seniors. I think it's invaluable. It's probably more valuable than the tournament itself.
OK, Okay, so we're going to step away from judo a little bit now. Gemma, you obviously got a puppy just after the games.
Yeah.
Just wondering how puppy training that's going. Just want to give us a little insight into that.
She's stubborn. She shouts at me a lot, demanding the treats, but she's perfect, obviously. I love it.
Training going well? Peeing on the carpet or anything anymore? Or?
I'd like to say no. I wish I could say no, but I think we had an accident. 3 accidents 2 days ago, actually. But normally, she's doing very good.
Obviously, Kelly, your dog's a little bit older.
Yeah.
Is it about a year old now?
Yeah, like 18 months.
How's that been for you? Obviously, sort of the last year getting a dog and
It was good. He's like been my first ever dog. We've never really had dogs in the family either. So it was good during lockdown because I could put like train him all the time because we're always at home. But he is very naughty. I think he's the naughty one out of the bunch.
So that's always how it ends up going. Okay, so we like to finish sort of these podcasts. Well, it's the second episode, so it's not like it's a common thing yet, but it's sort of a random question. Just get a bit more of an insight into you guys and to show everyone that we don't just do judo or raising dogs here at the British Olympic and Paralympic Training Centre. So today's random question, I thought of it in the car driving in this morning. What TV show would you like to be a lead character in? Could be any TV show.
Yeah, you can go first.
I'll tell
like
you.
Netflix show?
Any
or
TV
can
show,
it
Netflix,
be like a real...
Amazon.
Oh, okay.
I'll let you guys think. I'd say House. Medical program, House, great doctor, sarcastic, funny and stuff like that. I think it'd be cool to star alongside him. Well, that's one of my top 3 TV shows, so that's probably why I chose it, but
This is really random and probably would have been more appropriate like 30 years ago or 20 years ago. I'm not that old yet. Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
TV show.
That would have been really fun.
They did live their best life.
It was a nice hotel as well.
I don't really know. A TV show, not a film.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I watched James Bond on the weekend.
Was it
good? I was going to say that would be cool to be James Bond, but...
First female James Bond.
I mean, they're looking for someone new to take over the mantle,
yeah.
So... Career change from judo to...
To James to Bond.
Good move.
Programme.
Ronda Rousey basically did that.
Yeah.
What movie was she in? Was it The Expendables she was in?
I haven't seen it, I'm not sure. I just know she did some ninja stuff.
Maybe Money Heist, like The Professor.
I've never seen it. So
I've seen it,
he's
really good.
Cool and he's really clever and he's like, yeah, I could be a bit of him.
I've got a Money Heist to escape room coming up in London soon. Very excited.
Well, it's just like, I've not seen it, it's just like Rob. We don't want to put any spoilers in the podcast either, but it's just like robbing a bank, basically.
Yeah, but the professor, like, so when the police are coming to try and stop it and that, he, like, knows every exit route and he'll get them basically done it.
Step ahead
all times. And he never gets caught, really. Or if he does, he gets out.
Still waiting for the next episodes.
Yeah.
There's a few seasons of it now, isn't there?
Yeah, it's not finished.
And they catch up. I was tempted to say Squid Game, just because I've been watching that lately.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, but I don't want to be involved in that.
Yeah.
I think that's the one on the news this morning. It was like, your kids shouldn't be watching this programme. I'm not sure I haven't seen
it's
it.
It's really brutal.
I think it's a 15 or 18, but... So Dennis, for you, as the girl just answered, the random question on today's podcast is, if you could be a main character in any TV show that you could be in, what TV series would it be? Now I've got an idea of what I think you're going to answer.
What the hell? That is quite random.
I know you watch a lot of TV shows. And we spoke about a lot on trips as well, like certain ones. I'll let you answer first and I'll go what I think you're going to say.
Oh my God. See, I love sci-fi. I love science fiction, so it would have to be something, a character out of Captain Kirk.
Star Trek?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to say that. I had it in my head. I knew you were going to say Star Trek.
Yeah, definitely be Star Trek.
Thanks for tuning in for another episode of the Final Block podcast. Firstly, good luck to Kelly fighting at the weekend. Hope you do well. Stay tuned to British Judo's social media channels to see how Kelly and the rest of the GB team perform. And then follow British Judo's social media, and it's the best way to keep up to date with the latest news and the next episodes of the podcast. We will be releasing these sort of monthly, so once a month. It's always going to be a different topic. I look forward to speaking to you all on the next episode. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.